Richie into the show, which would be really an exciting thing for us. So a big thank you for to brother Hutt Jackson for organizing all our kōrero. Coming up in the show as well, we're going to be talking with Mr. Peter McDermott. We've got Dave Kaire, along with Huck, will be jumping in for a kōrero as well. And then we'll cross to Mr. Junior Tunu'u and a netball player from the Waikato Magic, Miss Irina Mikaire, will be joining us as well on the show. So I think we're just waiting for for Richie to jump online. Beautiful. Richie Blackmore, how are you, brother? No, my hoki Mikey tēnei hōtaka, bro. It's great to have you on the show. How's things?
Yeah, Razor. Hey, look, real good, mate. Just knuckling in with this weather and staying warm and just getting the footy on for the weekend and the long weekend too. So, yeah, looking forward to it.
Yeah. Awesome, brother. Awesome, bro. Hey, so I mean, the last time that we had a talk, you know, we happened to be talking about the way that Webster had made some really nice changes to the performance of the Warriors. It's been quite neat of late. I'm not sure what your knowledge is about the internal workings of the way the team is going at the moment, bro. But there's been heard some really neat things about from some of the players about the way that the guys have been asked to look at the game. I think Andrew Webster wanted to bring them in. I think in the past the Warriors had been fit, but Andrew Webster wanted to give them that match fitness from the word go and put them into dark places and looking at the requirements to finish an 80-minute game. I guess the specificity to that, to be put into situations under pressure all the time, and it seems to be paying dividends. That came from the mouth of Jez Tavanga, and I just want to get your thoughts on that approach to the game, bro. What are your thoughts on? And I think it was all about Webster was all about having them compete, competing with each other to be on the field, bro. What are your thoughts, brother?
What was a few weeks ago, probably not far off the start of the year when we had our last chat, and we talked a little bit about Andrew Webster, being the new coach, and his approach to it. I certainly back then, and I don't think anything's changed from then to now. I do like hearing the types of things or the way he puts his footy across. I think one of the big points that we touched on back then, and it has unfortunately been rearing its ugly head probably for the last 4 to 5, even 6 weeks, not far after we spoke, when you mentioned about what are the sorts of things that are putting the Warriors off in terms of the ability to be competitive weekly, monthly, yearly. And I think we mentioned a little bit about flights, and my bigger concern was the ability to get over this notion that the Aussies are doing them no favours, and that's been a huge discussion point in the last couple of weeks games that they've had. And I think as Wes has pointed out, it's not for them to deal to concern themselves about. It's outside noise, and I like his approach. I think they need to do more on that front and really sort of tackle the idea that, look, ultimately, and we mentioned it back then, and I'll say it again, and I'll continue to say it, we cannot continue to expect the Australians to do us any favours. It's not because we think that they're running a biased campaign. Subconsciously, it can't be expected of an Australian to favour a Kiwi. That's just the way it is. Let's just let that unfold, and we find a way as individuals and as a group to be better about our football, be smarter about our football. If that means getting better, if that means getting faster, then so be it. Do those things, because, I mean, it has been done before, so there's no reason why it can't be done again where the Warriors are minor premiers and heading to the final.
No, beautiful. That I was, I really enjoyed the game last week. Rich, be keen to get your thoughts on it. I thought it was an amazing, even though the baby Broncos were playing due to a number of players that are out with state of origin duty, I thought that our guys showed some real clarity to come back and kind of win it with that try scored by Montoya with less than 90 seconds to go. And then we had the issue of Pompey pulling or getting caught for that interference. What are your thoughts on that as an occasion? And I see Brother Huck was just saying that he's been named in the squad to play tomorrow. I would have benched him or put him down the lower grade. What are your thoughts on that?
Who's been benched, did you say, sorry?
I was hoping that Pompey was going to get benched for his pulling the jersey last week. But he's in the squad.
It's a bit of immaturity, a bit of naivety around that one. I think it's a little unfair to shoot him too hard around that one. He'll smarten up on that moment. Obviously, it's a little bit of a reflection, a bit of misguided confidence there that he thought he could get away with it. Yeah, look, we've got to dust past that because the pain of obviously a try being overturned because of something that may not have had any weight on it, makes it more painful. But, look, they won't be happy that they lost that game as much as they had opportunities to win it, and they certainly got turned down. If you're talking about chances to dominate a game, they're over the line at least 4 to 5 times. But it's also another part of the area where the Warriors have to be mentally more brutal, emotionally tougher. And when they come to these origin periods, there's an expectation that the Warriors should win because of the less amount of players available to them. And that almost throws a bit of
a curse, eh, bro? Almost.
Well, it's a curse. It's kind of like you're going into a game saying, okay, look, if I'm the Broncos here, well, we've got nothing to lose, boys. We're out 5 players. You know, they're all our stars. So, let's go out there and just play some footy. So they come in very relaxed. And I think on the other hand, the Warriors go in very uptight and intense because they feel like they have to get a result out of it. And that kind of becomes a bit of a curse because ultimately, pressure isn't something that you're begging to have, although you at that level, you've got to be prepared to deal with it, take it, wear it, because it's just part of the nature of that standard of footy. But you don't need it handed to you so that it's one of those sort of lopsided deliveries. And it's a tough one from that point of view, but they're stuck in it as they have done all year, and that's reflected on the scoreboard. I think there's, 3 or 4 of them all on 14 or whatever it is, and they're leading that stage because their for and against is better than everybody else's. And we can't knock them for their nature to compete for the 80 minutes and be in the game and give themselves a shot, and had that jersey pull just not quite have been as enticing as it was for Pompey. They may have gone away with it, but then again, they had 4 or 5 tries that should, and 2 of them probably easily should have been a try, and they should have got it to over the line and maybe just relaxed a little bit too early.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. So tomorrow, 5 o'clock, New Zealand will play host to the Dolphins, bro. Obviously coached by the legend who very recently was at the Indigenous round. Wayne Bennett clocked over 900 games. It'd be a big ask for us tomorrow. Obviously, those boys play. I think most players that play under Wayne Bennett, play beyond themselves to make that coach happy. I think we'll beat them at home. Fingers crossed, we'll beat them at home. What are your thoughts on how that performance will go tomorrow?
Yeah, well, I'm obviously with Wayne Bennett under. Well, they tag the master coach. Been around, some impressive numbers, but very hard to compete with that. But putting him aside, there's probably 2 players, the Bromwich brothers, that would have been nice footballers for the Warriors to have sort of somehow lured to lure back over the shores to play for the play over the side of at the back end of their career. They would have been because they're just fantastic footballers, and they know how to compete on the little things very well. That aside, I think this is going to be the telling game for them for the year. Because the Dolphins, they're a new club, and I think the Warriors are trying to reestablish themselves. So in many cases, and they're sitting pretty much on the same points as they're similar in many ways. And they've just spent two years in their camp, helping them be prepared for becoming an NRL club. When COVID was on, that's where they camped up. I think they really. From an emotional point of view, they really need to win this game, putting aside anything else. I think there are times in your year, in your season, and that a win-loss can influence the years after that. And I think this will be one of those games where they don't want to get something like give someone like the Dolphins the early points. From an emotional point of view, the bragging rights, because that can come back to haunt them in later on in the season. Because these guys, they're also trying to find themselves. They came together in the last minute. So there's a lot of similarities around these two teams.
Hey, your your involvement with the game of rugby league, right? Outside of your time with the Warriors, is there any other team inside the comp that you kind of that you rate as your second club?
Do I rate as a second club? Unfortunately, one of them was, and this was only, I think, because when I was growing up as a kid, sort of St. George was always a good one. And so I'm one of those loyal characters that, okay, somewhere when I was 10, 11, 12, St. George sort of caught my attention, and I've continued that on. And I'm not one to sort of change it just because I haven't disclosed that to anybody. Therefore, I'd better change it because while they're down the bottom of the table. So I'm going to wear it, man.
Thank you for sharing that honesty.
It's a done deal. You've heard it here first, and it's on record. And there's now no way ever to get out of this. St. George was my team of choice.
Well, but yeah, but like, look, yeah. Well, you know, I guess it was because again one of those clubs that merged, they. You know,
well, one of those clubs emerged, and I think back in, when I was growing up and very influenced by sport, and I was out and about as a young fella, St. George were a mighty club, very successful, and competing nicely with Canberra, the Raiders, and in their prime. So there was some good competition with those clubs back then. So I wear that. I mean, it doesn't bother me too much, but I'm liking what the Dolphins are doing for sure. It's a well-balanced competition at the moment, so the Warriors have that ability to sort of be able to shake off a couple of disappointing results, even though they put everything into feel like they deserve to win, to be able to regain a position. I mean, a win tomorrow puts them there, could easily put them up in the top, near the top four, top five. A loss chucks them down to 14th, 13th, 14th. You know, so there's a 10.
One of the things I want to ask you was in your rugby league journey. So similar to you, I've only just recently, probably only a couple of weeks back, I decided I was going to have a second team because it was just the Warriors for me always. And the reason I chose and the team I chose was the Titans. And I just wanted to ask, did you know the Keeney family, the rugby league players here in Tamaki? The Keeney family, because they're Mike Keeney's boy, Keanu,
Kenny,
starting.
Yeah, Mike Kinney. I know Kinney and Troy Kinney. I've seen their boys having a run, eh?
He's playing fullback. I watched his debut. He got 9 minutes against Parramatta on
awesome.
His, and he was the one that smashed. He put Moses off the field when Moses hit his hip, and then he passed the ball, and they scored a try, which was great, and just celebrated. You know, he was the reason that I've got a second team. Otherwise, it would always be the Warriors and only the Warriors.
Absolutely. I fully understand that, and yes, I did read a little bit about that, and I started putting it together. I was going, geez, because I remember when I was coaching, and he was running around for Northcote, I saw Troy over there on numerous occasions, obviously supporting him at that club. That would have been about 4 years ago, and there he is. He's trotting out with the NRL. Titans.
Yeah, bro, yeah. So I'm really, 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 really excited to watch him go. And obviously, all the, I guess the neat thing for him in that space, bro, is that you've got all the State of O players are back. You know, then you're going to have the Walkers and those guys kind of going Cody Walker and that. Wow, what an interesting time for a young fella to make not his debut, but to play his to be named in his starting lineup.
It's one of the benefits of when State of Origin comes around for some of those fringy players, for the coach to be able to not necessarily have to concern themselves too much about throwing a little bit of footy time towards them down the track. It's going to pay off. So well done to the young fella. Well done to the Kinney family.
Yeah, absolutely, bro. Let's turn our attention to, I can't remember if I know this at all, but when it comes to the Maroons and the Blues, bro, which way do you go?
See, that's not looking good for me, is it? I'm a Blues man.
I'm with you, bro. So I'm with you, bro. I'm still bloody crying.
This is looking, sounding real bad. Look, interesting one, that one. Briefly, they didn't look good when they were walking out the tunnel, to be honest. I was sort of sitting there going, oh my gosh, they looked a bit distorted. and sometimes you can spot a fair way off. And one of the things, as I was talking to a couple of mates while we were watching it, is that unfortunately I think he had got those selections wrong. I didn't quite understand where they were coming from with them. Pangai, I'm not sure if he's playing ever, well, he hasn't been playing quite enough for a couple of years. So I was going, okay, that's an interesting choice. But you know what? We know he's got the potential to play some good footy, and he certainly played some in his younger years.
He's not the best, though, bro. He's not the best in New South Wales to pick from. That's the thing that was amusing for me.
It was an unusual selection, and the brother out in the centre's there. He's looking like he's still trying to come back from injury, so it was a bit of a quick push to throw him back into the pot.
Too soon, eh? I mean, and what Turbo had done in the past is not the Turbo that's playing in 2023. He was a liability, bro. The way that Munster on that second to last try, the way that Munster ran across the face of all those guys, you just think, man, he hasn't got glue, you know, he hasn't got bloody sticky gel all over him. But he made everyone on their back line look stupid, bro.
And unfortunately, all these things are going back to, and rightly so, fall on Brad Fittler, the coach's lap, because he's almost starting to say too clearly, and this is where I think the harmony of the team has been disrupted, is he's going for favourites. He's sticking with favourites beyond form.
And they're not in form, mate.
Well, players at that level start to be a bit uneasy. They're certainly confident. They're looking around. They're starting to sort of question it themselves. No doubt nothing would have been said on the table because it's not the time now to address it. But I think underneath all of that, there was a bit of uneasiness about it. They just didn't look connected, and they played like that.
Yeah, you know, I like being with you because I thought Gina Paulo wasn't on. You know, I thought the other big prop wasn't on as well. And you can't have that against you know, when I listen to Darren Lockyer and them, you know that they're one-eyed Queenslanders. But when you hear them talk about the heart that Queensland has got, and they go down to 12 players and they can score two or three tries on a squad of 13 players, it's just wrong, bro. You know, it's just and to my mind, it was like probably the first year where I didn't look to blame any players. I went straight to Fit and I said, bro, I don't know whether you should be the coach, bro, because it's not going.
Absolutely. I mean, you look at all these things, and then they're giving you evidence to start to pick on some. You've got to pick on somewhere, and I think that somewhere has to start to fall on Brad. I think he's a bit too cavalier in his role. He's kind of. I think that sort of kind of makes you a little clumsy, and that seems to be what's going on. He's not taking the information that he's seen and treating it with urgency or importance. It's kind of like, you know, even when you listen to him, it's kind of like, yeah, nah, it's okay, that's not a problem. Hang on, mate. I'm not sure if it's not a problem. You need to identify it. Accept it, and if it becomes a reality, then it's a problem. You know, but he sort of brushes it off a little bit too easy. Some things when he's been questioned by the media.
Well, I don't think he likes to be questioned, which doesn't help if your ego's in the way of ultimately. You know, lots of people saying the right things. Like even for my mind, bro, when you got you know, Nicho Hynes is leading the point system in the dailies. And then, you know, nothing against Carousel and the way that he's playing, but Damien Cook, you don't leave Damien Cook not in a squad like that. It's just like...
Oh, well, certainly Nicho Hynes made you sort of question it, but as I said, that's another one that sort of pushed things towards that the boys were uneasy about the decisions and the selections, and that it was about favourites or, you know, he didn't kind of understand or was prepared to hear the message. And the message in Nicho Hynes was you had to put him on the starter. He's your best footballer.
He's just too good to not have on any rugby league field. My gosh,
You go to Queensland and, you know, they didn't hesitate to put Reece Walsh in the starting lineup. And they got a couple of good quality fullbacks to put in there, but they looked at it, and they could see that he can play footy.
I'm not sure if you saw that interview with Billy Slater, bro. One of the reporters said, "Oh, hey, what's the main reason that you selected Reece Walsh to play number one to make his debut?" And Billy just said, "Have you seen him play football?" it was just a, it's you do you know what I mean? And that's what Brad's not doing, eh? Brad's not doing that. Yeah, Nico's on fire, bro.
It wasn't even a confusing decision had Nico Hines been selected to start. That people would have accepted that as, yeah, well, fair enough. But it didn't happen. And in reflection, obviously, these things are going to fall back on his lap. And, their biggest conundrum is, where to from here with the coach. I think unless they can help that out, but I can't imagine he's going to be around for too much longer. They'll have to start. If they can't pick up this next win, I'd say he'd be the next to go.
Yeah, I think you're right too. How hard is it going to be to play in Suncorp? There'll be every opportunity for the Queenslander just to put the Blues away, which is extremely shady, for my mind. But
typical Fittler fashion, he'll just brush that off. It won't be a problem to him. But we'll see how he goes.
Well, even when you see the nature of the way it's tearing those Johns brothers apart too, bro, it's not good. It's almost like it's not good for the game of rugby league, but it's also not good because they've both, worn that blue jersey, and it feels like we've just been torn apart from the inside out, not the outside in. It just feels like that's and I'm not sure how Fiddler's going to step away. I think he'd have a lot of egg on his face too if he does that. When he does, I think he'll be embarrassed,
it may be not his choice in the end, but that's unfortunate. They'll have to move on, and if that's the case, and there's plenty more quality boys that they can easily put in there. And they're in trouble. That's what they are. They're in trouble.
And they've got to save themselves. So, Richie, always a pleasure to talk with you, brother. Hopefully, when we get back in touch, we'll be still a long way, because we're only a few. It's only round 14 of 26, so still a long way to go. But I look forward to catching up with you again, bro. And hopefully those Warriors still heading up the ladder. Obviously, they got the Dolphins this week, the one the week after, and then they got another bye. So if we can get another two of those, if we can get two games out of those three, that would put us close to that top four, bro, which would be great. So we'll give you another call and talk with you, bro, which is always a buzz for me, brother.
Razor, always a pleasure, mate, and ka kite, and enjoy your long weekend.
You too, brother, and we'll catch you up again. Thank you, Richie.